is KF8EDQ listening. W8FU.
Good morning, Scott. KF8CWF. I got a bracket for one of those 706 Mark IIs, if you want it.
Is that an MB62?
That is correct.
I got two of them.
Okay, you gave me one and it doesn't fit anything that I have, so I thought I'd offer it.
Guy was strange. You know, not Steve, but the guy they got it from, he had a weird selection of stuff.
That's all I've been told. Alright, I gotta crank up the motorcycle now and head to work. I'll catch you later. KF8CWF.
All righty. Catch you. W8FU.
Good morning, CWF, and good morning, W8FU, W8RCY. Somebody's going in early to get in line for the coffee. Did you have a nice birthday yesterday?
Well, I woke up with a raw throat and a really bad headache, and I wasn't planning on taking the day off, but it went away, and I felt better, you know, after a few hours. And then my son came by, and he took me out to dinner, so, yeah, all in all, it worked out real good.
Yeah, because I thought you said you were going to go in, and my birthday wishes went that way, and then heard you weren't doing the day. It didn't start too well, but I just wondering how I finished up, so I'm glad it finished up well, and you got time with your son and stuff and got a meal out of the deal, and it's all good. But, yeah, you had a great day for it, that's for sure. You couldn't ask for a better birthday, birthday weather.
Yeah, I didn't really take advantage of the weather. Didn't do anything outside, but still, it was nice. I wore shorts and a T-shirt to a Tigers shirt to the dinner. So it was comfy. But I was gonna get out and do some putzing, but I was going to do it all weekend long. I was going to, so it was just yet another day I didn't get around to it. Wanted to work on my antennas. So I'll probably wait till it gets cold, you know, of course.
Yeah, I could easily say I've had those procrastinating stories in my time for sure. Yeah, yesterday I was, you know, going to sit outside for a little bit, and I was out there for about 10 minutes, and I started sneezing, and I had just remembered the cutting crew came by and cut the grass, and I figured maybe an hour later I'd be fine, but no, I started sneezing, and then I was sneezing in the afternoon, so yeah, I kind of, around 3 o'clock, I closed the windows and the screens and everything, and hunkered down just in order to stop sneezing.
Yeah, I guess if your allergies peak in September, it's hay fever, classic hay fever. That's what I've heard. And if they're June, it's pollinating grass. So, but I don't know. That's just what I've heard. I have no formal education on that.
Yeah, I didn't contract allergies till my early teenage years, you know, when you're like 12 years old and you can start cutting the grass and things like that. But with this field that I have out back here and all the rain we had earlier in the summer, it's just a wall of green, and you know, I can't see anything now. I can't see the Detroit skyline. I can't see the hospital next door. This has got to be the thickest thicket of foliage that we have back here. But whatever else is down there in that field is probably making me sneeze as well. I mean, you know, you're talking about hay fever and pollen. One of my doctors told me when I was younger I have a poison sumac allergy, and I still don't even know what the heck that is. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's back there in that field with all the plants and weeds and whatever else is growing back there. It's just insane. But it just came out of nowhere. And, yeah, so anyway. But absolutely. Yeah, I slept with the windows closed last night just in case I woke up sneezing or a stuffed up head.
Oh, man. Traffic on 16 mile here is a little weird. Anywho. Yep, I'd like to get those antennas fixed. That's one thing I would like to know. I got to get my long wire tuned in, and one of the legs wrapped. So I got to get that. I got to get that down. Get that all straightened out. Get it tuned in. That shouldn't take too long. And then I got a second VHF UHF antenna that the mast dropped down a section, and then the coax got whacked with my weed whacker. Like that, my bad. So now I have to fix the coax, rerun it, or whatever I've got to do. I don't know. I've got to figure that out and then pick that antenna back up. So that was the one that was the antenna that I used to run on my all mode so that I could get on 432 and VHF sideband. And I used that rig for other reasons, but that was its mainstay, so I haven't used it in months and months and months, probably well over a year, because it's been, the antenna's been off. That it's just a pain in the ass to move the antenna on my FM rig to that rig, so I don't do it.
Yeah, my project for next year is to get a better antenna for my base slash mobile configuration there on the corner of my desk, because that window antenna, I was cleaning the glass the other day, and actually more than the other day, it was almost like about a month ago I was cleaning the glass, and I was looking at the cable, and I noticed something on the cable, and I thought maybe it was dirt or something. Nope, there's a small cut in the coax, and that coax is very thin. I mean, it's a mobile coax designed, you know, to go in the car. It's smaller than RG58. I think they call it 125 maybe, it's a very fine thing, and there's a little nick in the rubber and it's exposed, so I'm using it very, very minimally, and I'm looking for a way of getting an antenna either on glass again or something outside that's small and less conspicuous. Or move to the ninth floor and make it easier.
I'm telling you right now, I'd get a Diamond X50 at minimum. Some sort of a fiberglass, you know, antenna. And put that on a short little mast and put that in a bucket with some concrete or something like that. And I would just set that right out on the balcony. That's what I'd do. Ain't nobody going to say nothing about that. Hell, they wouldn't even see it. But you could put a flag from it and then tell them, say, are you going to make me take down my American flag? But that's what I do. You could put some. You could even get like a fake Christmas tree. You know, except for not necessarily a Christmas tree. You could put it around it. Just make sure it doesn't have metal, and it'd be a fake tree. There's any number of ways you could easily put a real good antenna out there on that balcony.
WRCY. Oops, WARCY. Why was I thinking the other number? I have it in my brain not to say it, and I said it. Anyways, I need more coffee. Yeah, I mean, I'm just, like I said, I'm looking. I've got ideas. I've seen 17-inch fiberglass omnidirectionals. I've seen small beams I can point down towards Detroit. The biggest trick, though, is I got to get the thing above the railing, and I'm figuring the railing's right about 48 inches high, and so the mast would have to come up across that. But, yeah, I could probably put it in the corner, and nobody would know for sure, or out from the wall a little bit. But, yeah, I've got a lot of options. But you say a Diamond X50, I'll have to look that one up and see what it is. And then the trick is going to be running the coax through the door wall and how I'm going to do that. So, but I've got the rest of this year to figure that out and have it in place by, you know, have it ready to go and go in place by spring.
Oh, that's too long, man. This is a two-week project, including shipping. Just make a decision, buy it, get it, put it up. Anyhow, that's not a next year thing. But, yeah, as far as getting the coax in, that's a challenge. With the door wall, it's not going to be real easy. I don't know if you can get the coax over to the bedroom window. Do those windows open vertically or horizontally?
They're both sliders east-west direction, and bedroom window is okay, but you know, how do you access from the bedroom window to the balcony thing? That's a bit of a gap I'm not willing to hang from, nor do I have a cherry picker that'll get up there to do it. So that's just going to be the routing thing. And if worse comes to worse and I got to put one of those flat, you know, SO239 connectors on each end that they have for windows and door walls, so be it. Because, I mean, the radio is only going to be used for certain frequencies at certain times. 9 times out of 10, I'll be on a handheld and running the node.
Well, if it's a slider, I don't think they make them, but the doors, the windows that, you know, the regular double hungs, they make a small strip that goes underneath them. You open it up, you put this strip in there, and then you drop the window down on it, seals, and it can have a number of SO239s on it or something like that, you know, feed-throughs, and then you would just have to have coax, you know, from the antenna to the one side, and then from the other side on the inside to your radio. But the gap would be easy. To, you know, you just have to toss it over to the balcony, then you could do all that without any danger of going outside. But being a slider makes it difficult. Door walls is real difficult because I don't think they make anything like that. But if you can find something to fill the gap between you know, all the way from the top to the bottom, you know, and then, you know, like a strip of wood or something like that, you know, close the door wall on that, and then just drill a hole through it. But I mean, that would work. But yeah, that I know what you're talking about, those flat, their window, they're specifically made for that. That would work too, I guess. I've never used one of those, but I've seen it advertised. I suppose that would work. Whatever, that's the least of your problems. But the way the heat is over there, I wouldn't worry about it. Just crack the door wall, give you some relief.
Oh, especially on the heat side, you know, it's t-shirt and basketball shorts all year round. I mean, in this place, I did notice my electric bill went up a little bit this year during the summer months because of the need for air conditioning and the blistering heat we had and humidity. But, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. The winter, I can crack the windows a little bit and do that. But, I mean, I'm looking out the bedroom window right now, and I'm looking at this thing, and it's probably about, I mean, the bulkhead wall to the balcony is not that far. I mean, it's probably maybe 5 feet, but the jet out to the balcony is a lot further. That's about another 5 feet, because I know the balcony is 5 feet deep from front to back, or from, you know, the wall to the railing, and 10 feet wide. So, like I said, though, I got plenty of time. Maybe if you know, who knows, maybe I'll have it in place by October, or before the weather really gets bad, so. If not, definitely next year for sure. But I'm a procrastinator, so yeah, it's my own fault. But I got radios at work. I'm talking on the Boofwang today through the node, and hopefully it's making it okay.
Well, yeah, when you're on the node, you're rock solid. You're, you know, sound like you're at the repeater. You basically are. So. Yeah, well, with the, I forgot that the balcony pushes out, and you wouldn't want that coax dangling there. That would be asking for trouble. So I'm sure we could get the thing, you know, we'd throw a string with a little weight on it, and, you know, you could have multiple tries making it, and, you know, once you get the string over to the balcony, then you just tie your coax to that and pull it across, but I'm absolutely certain we could get it, but I don't think you could probably get away with the dangling coax, you know, so that's kind of out. You're going to have to deal probably with the door wall, and that's probably better anyhow. It's right there where your stuff is and everything, so, yeah, you know, get the antenna and the mount and the pole and everything like that, get all that done and ready to go and figure out what you're going to do there, and just have the coax coiled up and toss it out there when you feel like using it with the door cracked, and bring it in when you're not, and later on you can figure out what you're going to do for something more permanent. But get the antenna. I'd say start with getting the antenna and the coax, and making your, you know, get a pail, and I can help you with that. Figure out how long the mast has got to be, and we can put a mast and a pail with some quickcrete. There you go. Hell, you might be able to even find something ready to go at a hardware store, like some sort of a, you know, I said a Christmas tree earlier, a Christmas tree stand. I'm sure there's lots of stuff, but if nothing else, a pail with some quickcrete and a short piece of mast coming out of it would do the trick.
Yeah, you mentioned things like pails and buckets and 5 gallon pickle buckets or paint buckets. There's also those things that you use to put picnic table umbrellas on. You know, those crank up or crank out umbrellas that they sell. You can put sand or water in them and move that around. And I mean, the antenna, I don't know the size of this exact antenna, but yeah, it shouldn't take too much wind, you know, so it doesn't. The bucket doesn't have to be super heavy, and if you want to be able to move it around or bring it in and out, yeah, I got to be careful with weight with my back and everything. And I mean, it's only about a 5-inch lip from the balcony to the inside, but still, 5 inches is enough to screw up my back very easily. So, yeah, like I said, we got a lot of options, but I'll look at that antenna after I get off the radio here and finish my coffee and see what that one looks like. And I'm guessing, like I said, the railing's about 42, and my shoulder cap is at about 50, and that's usually where I hold the radio when I'm at outside. So these are all eyeball measurements, but, yeah, so we'll come up with something for sure. And if you're volunteering to help with some things, I would greatly appreciate it as well. But, yeah, we'll get it going.
Yep, just let me know when. No problem. We'll get it knocked out. You might even be able to do some sort of a quick connect to the railing. You know, just some sort of a pressure clamp or something like that. You don't need much. You know, that it ain't a whole lot of weight. And, you know, some sort of a clamp, you know, something non-intrusive, something that doesn't, you know, leave marks or anything like that. But couple of clamps and just run it out there. That would be no weight at all. And the railing would serve as the you know, at the mount point.
Well, there's three mounting points to the railing, one on each side of the railing, and the balcony is both my balcony and my neighbor's balcony. It's one big 5-by-20-foot slab of cement with 20 feet of railing. But right in the middle of my balcony is one of the support mounts for the railing. But it specifies in the HOA we cannot affix, attach, or do anything with the railing, be it, you know, antennas and flagpoles and things of that nature. You just can't attach anything to it. And I think I've only got about maybe three satellite dishes on the back side of the building here. And one was put on the railing and it got taken down and had to be put into the bucket of cement with a pole kind of a thing. But they actually have it sticking through the railing somehow. So even though it's affixed to a bucket with cement in it and whatever, the antenna is still outside the railing and it looks like it's mounted to the railing, but it's not. So that's a different option too. But like I say, I mean, a simple fire stick of some kind will probably do good. I don't know about reflection, though. That was another question I was going to bring up, and we can talk about it down the road, how much of an omnidirectional signal gets messed up if it sits inside my the walls of my balcony. But that's another question for another day.
I had to chat with my barista for a minute. It's one I hadn't seen in a while. So I said, good morning. Got my quad shot. Ready for the morning. Anywho, yeah, look that up. A guy just bought a couple of them for the Winlink repeaters and the APRS repeater and one for the hospital and one for the county building. And it's a pretty nice little antenna. You know, they're not little. You know, they're one piece. They're not terribly long or tall, and I think to me it would be the ideal antenna for your situation. Wouldn't take a whole lot to hold it up. You know, like I said, the bucket or whatever. Even at I was thinking that same thing, that umbrella holding thing. That just might be harder to move around. The bucket with the handle might be a little easier, and I think we could make it light enough to where it's not that bad. And if you really, you know, if you're worried about the back and all that stuff, you could probably even put it on a cheap little set of wheels with a handle. You could just kind of like, you know, you could just almost like a dolly.
And I got a friend who works with RC cars, you know, radio control cars, and I'll have him make me a little motorized thing for it, and we'll get a ramp for it to go up and over the step down to the balcony. And that way there's no lifting at all, and I'll make a little parking spot in the corner of the living room for it. Never mind, my mind is starting to really wander now. I need more coffee. W-8-R-C-Y.
Well, now hold on a second, though. So the whole reason we're making this thing portable is because I thought you weren't supposed to have it out there, and you were just going to, like, only take it out there when you needed it and bring it in and all that. But if you say people have got satellite dishes out there and they even protrude out beyond, then screw that. That's your ticket. Why bother bringing it in at all?
I had a quick phone call, and I just pushed it to ignore. I'll answer it later. But, yeah, I know. You're absolutely right, but yeah, the satellite dishes, the listing in the HOA says as long as they're not affixed directly to the railing, they're allowed. And I think they're only allowed on the south side of the building because of the way the signals work with satellite dishes. Everything points in that corridor between due south and due west kind of a thing. So even if I were to put up a Starlink, what looks like an iPad, tablet-type size thing, I'd have to point that towards the southwest, but that I could even mount to the side of my table out there, and that's nothing, but, yeah. So I could probably, I was even thinking about mounting it to the cable that's out there, you know, make it, that cable's pretty heavy, and it does move around. I actually saw it. I said, either somebody's been on my balcony or the rainstorm we had last night moved it, and I can't figure how a rainstorm would move it, but somehow that thing moved a little bit, maybe about 6 inches, and that thing's heavy. I mean, it's a lot to lift up, and I'm just wondering. And yes, people do climb the railing to get into their apartments. I had a guy on the fourth floor do that a couple of times when he locked himself out. So, yeah, it's a security thing for me.
Well, there you go. All right, I am at the shop. I'm going to get inside because I've got to talk to somebody before they take off. We'll catch you later. After yours, W8FG.
Okie dokie then. Have a good day. You know, get caught up with everything, and we'll catch up with you later. W8RCY. And it sounds like Madison Heights is cruising down to Quinder.
W8RCY. KF8CWF. I didn't hear you. I was putting a radio on my belt so I could ride to work real quick. Good morning, Donald.
Good morning, Brian. Yep, I heard you, but I thought you were, like, on your way out the door, so I just jumped in with a quick hello, and then I'm leaving a gap for you to jump in. I said, why am I leaving a gap when he's on his motorcycle? You know, unless you can, you know, drive one-handed or you got some kind of headset thing going or something fancy-schmancy going.
I do have a shoulder mic for it, but it sits in the basement most days. And, yeah, like I said, I heard Sean. I wanted to tell him I had that bracket if he needed it. So that's why I was out there so early this morning. Actually, I got up late for work, but I still made it on time. Oh, well.
Well, I mean, with him being off early yesterday, I figured, you know, I mean, when I heard him on the radio early, about 20 minutes early, I said, yeah, he's got to go in early and, you know, catch up for what he missed out on yesterday for playing sick and a half a day of hooky. But, yeah. Yeah, so anyway, but nothing new here. You might have heard us talking about what we're going to do with my place. I got to get some kind of an outdoor antenna. My window antenna works fine, but I got a nick somehow in the coax, and that's really, really fine coax. I mean, it's smaller than like an RG58, and I think I'm thinking the numbers are 125, R125, I think is what it's called, or LMR125, something with the numbers 125. And as I was doing some cleaning, I noticed that something was on the cable, and I thought it was, you know, dirt or something, and nope, there's a nick in the rubber, and I got exposed wiring in there, so I put a piece of tape over it for now, and until I can get the thing done.
Yeah, well, with the stuff that I bought from that estate, I got to figure out a second antenna for my house, something for the HF band. But, yeah, you know, it just blossoms and grows, and I don't have anything that restricts me other than a wife, which is as bad as an HOA, or, you know, where the power lines are located on my lot.
Well, they say height is might. I've got the height, but 50 square feet of area to play in and your open sky on three sides because there's a 20-foot wall between the floor of my balcony, the apartment above me, and the roof line that I would have to clear. And I was thinking maybe putting a beam up. They make beams as small as about 18 inches in length, and just pointed towards the throat of, you know, pointed right down the throat of towards downtown Detroit. But I would have to get one that's got a powerful DB because I got a wall of trees right now in front of me. I can't even see the hospital next door to me, let alone the skyline of Detroit. So, and even if I was up on the ninth floor, it still wouldn't clear me because these trees in this field that separate my campus from the hospital are just monstrosities. And so, I don't know. That's why I got to look at options.
Yeah, on the GMRS side, I can hit Mayville a good percentage of nights, not so much during the day, and I don't have a problem with anything else around here, but yeah, I haven't tried too many places too far away. I do have a tall tree, but it's kind of thin, but that would be to the north, slightly to the west, and that's probably what prohibits me from hitting Flint on those good nights. But, yeah, there again, I'm only up about 30 feet, 35 feet with my antenna. No 85, that's for sure.
Well, it's from the ground to my floor of my balcony is 85 feet, but then you can add on another 5 feet because if you hold an HG in your hand and you're holding it at about, would be shoulder height, my shoulder caps are 5 feet or as tall as Joanne is. She's my measuring guide. So I could actually rest the radio on top of her head and just have to push the button when I talk. So that adds another 5 feet. So the rubber ducky would be about 90 feet up in the air. Thank God she's not listening. The biggest clearances, though, is the railing. The railing's about 4.5 feet, and can't attach it to the railing. You probably heard part of the conversation between me and Sean anyways. But, so I'm going to look at this antenna that he just told me to look at and see how much it is. And I think the biggest hurdle for us is just getting a coax routed in and around the door wall. And Sean knows how my layout is in the living room and everything else. So, All right. Well, I will let you go do some work, and that way you can check at the end of the week. And we'll catch up with you later. I will not be at the breakfast this Saturday. I've got the race in Indianapolis. I got to work. I'm leaving tomorrow. And my birthday is the following Saturday on the 27th, and I'm not sure what the plans are yet, so I'm not sure if I'll even be there for that. Have a great day. Catch up with you later. W8RCY on your final.
Yeah, well, this coming Saturday, I'll probably be here at work, and the following Saturday, I have a golf outing that we'll be heading to, so I probably won't be at it for the next 3 or 4 weeks. We'll take it one day at a time. Anyways, it's supposed to be a gorgeous day. Have a great day. Enjoy it. And I'm going to try and avoid too much work over here. KF8BWF. Talk to you later.
Hey, DLH Mobile.
VSU.
Good morning.
WDAKLO.
Good morning, what's up?
Well, good morning. I believe it's Wally out there. WDAKLO, Greg here.
Hey, Greg. Where are you hailing from? Over here in beautiful New Baltimore. I want to get my morning cup of coffee, and then I'm going to the office.
Sounds like a plan. New Baltimore and then to the office to get your coffee and get to your office there. A little bit staticky.
Okay, it was scanning and I don't know where it went. Is this better or worse, like the eye doctor says?
Well, I'm not going to ask you to do it again like I normally would at an eye doctor, but it sounds great. Way better.
Yeah, I think it's scanned down to the Detroit repeater on the M1 system, so Richmond should work pretty good on a day like today over here, so I locked it in, turned the scan part off. I really got to get it to stop doing that, but I guess it wouldn't matter me taking the radio out of the car and putting it back on the bench. And that takes ambition. I got to get some of that today.
Yeah, I hear you, Wally. I'm working on that ambition. I'm on a second cup of coffee right now, and I'm looking outside, and I'm thinking it's a good day to get out and pick up some leaves and get out and work in the yard.
You know, I thought about that, too, when I got in the car a little bit ago. I thought, you know, my grass needs to be cut. And I thought, yeah, that's nice. But then I thought, ah, heck with it. It's still a little wet. Maybe I'll do that tonight. So, I kind of like cutting the grass. I walk it. I bought one of those electric battery-operated 4.0 lawnmowers. It does a pretty good job. Nice and quiet. Don't have to wear headphones. I mean, I really don't care about, you know, any of the environmental concerns that they bring, but I do care about it being quiet, and it's kind of cool, actually.
Just curious, what kind of voltage on a battery-powered lawnmower?
This one's 60 volts, so they're all over the planet, but at the end of the day, as you know from, you know, where you are, boils down to watts. So you lower the voltage, you use more amps, you raise the voltage, you use less amps. So this one's 60. And I really didn't have any super duper choice in buying it. The only reason I bought this one was it came with an extra battery at the time. There was a promotion in the spring where if you buy one, you get an extra battery. And they were all about the same price. You know, features versus price, they were all about the same. Just a second here, I'm going to talk to the little jack-in-the-box. Okay, Greg, I'm back for a minute. I talked to the jack-in-the-box, and now I'm in line again. I like this coffee place. It's about the best one in town, but it's also for sure the slowest one in town.
Yeah, I guess the good things are you have to wait for. I'm not a big paying for coffee guy, but every once in a while I'll get me a Starbucks or something. But other than that, I'm a Tim Hortons man. I make Tim Hortons at home.
I think that's the one we were doing for a while. No, Dunkin' Donuts. And then Costco quit carrying it. And now we're doing 8 o'clock coffee. And that's pretty good, too, if ever you want to. Can't get your hands on Tim Hortons. 8 o'clock is pretty good, but 8 o'clock has kind of got, at least in my opinion, it's kind of got a Dunkin' Donuts taste to it.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've had Dunkin' Donuts. It's been a long time, but yeah, we get the Tim Hortons, you know, free ground or whatever. Comes in a bag at one. We go to Costco and Sam's, but I think we get a bag at Sam's and a canister of the Tim Hortons at Costco. So, anyways, that's what we're big Tim Horton fans.
It's funny how it always tastes the same from brand to brand to brand when you realize it's just coffee beans. Like, how does Tim Hortons always taste like Tim Hortons? How does Dunkin' always taste like Dunkin'? How does Big B's always taste like Big B's? You know, it's like, it's weird. How do they pull that off? Like, it makes you wonder, are we messing with genetics or something? You know, they always do taste the same.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a real big coffee connoisseur, but we kind of settled on the Tim Hortons there. I do like Maxwell House, though, a little bit. I think we've had Maxwell House in the past, but it's not too bad. But Tim Hortons for us.
You know, we did something else when I was talking about coffee. We've been buying the whole ground things, and from Amazon, I bought a grinder. You know, it's an automatic grinder. You know, you just set it for time. And that makes the coffee taste a lot fresher, too. You should try that sometime, too. I think a good grinder from Amazon is like $25-$30. And you dump in, oh, maybe a half a pound, quarter pound in it. Then when you're making your coffee, you just tell it, like for me, I just say 20 seconds. And it grinds it. Because when you get them in the whole bean form, they're kind of, they kind of got like a coffee oil on them. And I think that makes it taste a little bit closer to what you get when you buy it at the, you know, the store, the Big B or whatever. Because I think that that's part of their trick. They grind the coffee every so often, like every morning or something like that. So they always have, you know, the bean stays the freshest as long as it's whole. And then we go ahead and just buy a grind, bought a grinder. It works nice, actually. WABD.
WZAKLL for ID. Yeah, the grinder thing, we got we did that for a while. There's nothing better than that. My opinion is if you see a little bit of an oil film on top of that coffee, you've got the freshest flavors coming out of that bean, my opinion. We used to do the French press, and I think that's the best coffee you can get out there, but it takes time. You got to invest in grinding the beans and all that, but I'm spoiled with the automatic timer on the coffee pot. It goes off at 6 o'clock every morning.
Yeah, well, I always make it ready, but I don't put the filter in it and everything else, but I don't grind the beans until the morning because I can pretty much, I'm at the point in my career where I can pretty much come and go as I please. So some days I wake up and I'm wide awake at 6 o'clock in the morning, and other days I wake up at 7:30, so I really am fortunate as far as my work schedule goes nowadays. Of course, I'm really close to, like, calling it retirement, but and nobody says anything. So if I get there at 8 o'clock, nobody says anything. If I get there at 11 o'clock, nobody says anything. I just have a handful of tasks to do. I do them, and I do what I want. So I'm fortunate. But I also, like I said, I don't have to work anymore, and I'm 66, so that makes it a lot cooler, too.
So where's breakfast?
What's up, young man?
Yeah, I'm older than I was day before yesterday.
You had a great response, too. Greg is on the other end of the stick here. When I said, so are you 1 year closer to retirement? You came back and go, no, but I'm 1 day. I like that. That was a great response. Happy over-the-air birthday, too. I know I called you on the phone, but Greg, say hi to Sean. I'm going to go pay the lady here. I'll be right back. WBD.
Good morning, Sean. We must have woke you up talking about coffee. I know you're a big coffee connoisseur.
Yeah, I just finished my four shots of espresso. Just finished that. and it had its desired effect. I don't know if that's the desired effect, but it always seems to send me to the library. TMI, I know. But I was just sitting here listening to Wally lamenting about his work schedule, wondering where breakfast was, seeing as he gets to come and go. So I could do breakfast. Now I'm just sitting here going through some paperwork because I took yesterday off. And it was my birthday, and I thought, you know, I was thinking I was going to take it off, and then I thought, nah, I'm not going to take it off. And then I woke up, and I didn't feel good. You can believe that crap on my birthday. And, luckily, it cleared. My son came by, and we went and did something. So it ended up working out. But, well, hell of a day not to feel well. I did want to get some antenna work done outside. I successfully put that off another day. So I guess all's good.
Let me see if I got it.
Okay, took my $7 and now I'm heading towards the office. So, yeah, let me see how this works out. You know, I might be able to do much today. Depends on what happens. I've got a couple projects going on. I want to talk to you about, you know, a lot of those guys have gone, like, those little PLC radios crazy, and I bought, like, four of them for work, and they work remarkably well, so, for work, and the guys can say whatever they want, so I was going to chat with you a little bit about that. Yeah, the Who Cares group has been using them, and so I've been listening to those guys talk about them. I go, okay, what the heck, and I've been trying that, so... Sean, over to you.
You'll have to tell me what we're talking about because I'm not sure. I know what it is. But another time, because I just wanted to jump in here and make a comment about breakfast and say hi. And with that, I got to get back to work stuff. So I'll be around if you're in the neighborhood. Let me know. Otherwise, tomorrow I'll be without a car all day. I'm dropping it off to Steve, UGH, to detail it. And, so no car tomorrow. Other than that, we're all good. All right, I'm going to jump out of here. I'm going to send that over to Greg, and I'll be listening out. W8FU.
Okay, Sean, well, I'm glad you're feeling better, and happy belated birthday to you, my friend. All right, I guess I'm going to get out of here, let you guys get back at her. Good talking to you both, Wally and Sean, and we'll chat again. WD8KLL, I'll be clear after yours, Wally.
Yeah, that works out good for timing, too, because I'm heading north on County Line, so about 3 miles to go, and then I should be at my office. And hopefully I'll get, remember, that's the better word, remember everything I'm supposed to do before I go hide. So, and then tomorrow Sean is out. I have to go down to Monroe, one of our sales reps, and supervise. So I was told to go supervise the presentation. So we got one of our newer, younger salesmen, and this pretty significant project, and they want to train the guy, but they don't want to lose it. So I was asked to go supervise, so I shall. Very good, everyone. You guys all have a great day. What a beautiful weather day. What a great Indian summer we're having. Chat to everyone later. W8 Victor Delta.
WDAK, Lowell in the mobile.
Oh, thank goodness, because it's so lonely out here. Can't you get you?
Hello, Tom. A little lonely out here, a little quiet today?
I don't know, I think maybe just my ears are stuffed from sinuses. It's kind of quiet, but it is kind of quiet. You know, no crackles anywhere. Co-worker's ahead of me, but he's charging his phone, so he's not on GMRS yet.
Yeah, roger that. I'm just out doing some errands here. What a beautiful day.
It definitely turned out to be one.
I just cut up my first round of leaves that fell in my yard. Can't believe it's already that time of year. But it has started.
Oh, yeah. I'm still getting used to it. But I only have one big tree now in my backyard. My wife cut down all the others.
Yeah, I guess I just not ready for it. That first time when the leaves fall and you got to chop them up or rake them, I'm like, oh, my gosh. It's here. Seems like it's a little bit early this year to me. I don't know.
Yeah, it is a little bit. I mean, compared to last year. But we just rake them up and throw them in the burn pit.
Yeah, I hear you. I'd do that if I could just wait. But I just cut them as if the grass is still growing. I can usually keep up on them and just chop them up with a lawnmower as they fall. Depending on, you know, if you can get on it every couple of days, you can stay on it.
Oh, 100%. That's what my wife does. You know, she just mulches them, and then it just feeds the grass for next year kind of thing.
Yep, that's what I do. I got a zero turn. I just run around and chop them up, and it does make good fertilizer for next year for sure.
Yeah, I got to my chain for this weekend. The chains off of the blades. So. Hope it's not bent. Put it on there, tighten it up, and get that thing running and cut down some more of the tree stumps that are there. I think that'll be my Saturday adventure.
Yeah, I got some tree work I need to have done. Got a big limb that needs to be cut down and chopped up and all that good stuff. So I'm there with you on that.
Yeah, I mean, we did a bunch of burning. I mean, we cut down trees and cut down branches, cut them all up, and then I just threw them on top of the fire pit, lit it all up, and it went up all at one time. So much easier.
Oh, yeah, I agree. If you can burn them, that's the best thing you can do. That's what I usually do with the sticks that fall in the yard. I just throw them in a fire pit. I got about a year's worth now. It looks like a, what do you call it, beaver den. It's so doggone tall. Over the year, I got all the, it's all twigs, too, from stuff that fell off the trees.
Yeah, the tree has, the only one that's left is what they call an old cherry tree. That's what the tree people called from DTE. It's an old cherry tree. I mean, it almost looks like a weeping willow to me, but who am I to judge? So we just cut the branches off, and that's the only thing that's left. When the leaves fall on it, then we'll just run them over or scoop them all up and throw them in the fire pit with some logs and burn all that stuff away. Wood to burn from all the trees being cut down.
Yeah, if it's cherry wood, boy, that's good wood for smoking for sure.
No, a couple of the trees that were cut down were they called weed trees, where you cut them down and they grow back. You cut them down, they grow back. But this time we decimated them, so they didn't. I don't know why that person didn't want to fall behind me. But we had one maple in the corner and just cut that down. So. All the other wood is just old taking stuff from recent cuttings over the past 8 years.
Gotcha. All right, Tom, I'm going to be pulling up here to my next stop. I'm going to cut you loose here, and we'll check back a little bit. WDKLL, I'll be clear after yours.
Sounds like a plan. I got a couple miles to go before I hit, so enjoy the day. I'll talk to you later on the radio. WDKLL, 73KJO.
Let me call you back. KFADRC. WBAKLL, KFADRC. WBAKLL, KFADIC.
How's it going, Jack? KFADA.
Hey, Dave. Good afternoon. How you doing? I know you're on break for short time, right?
Yeah, just for a little bit. I just turned this radio on to see if it was still working. This is the RedTel 860. You sound good on it.
Yeah, I'm on that golfing Kenwater radio. No, you sounding good, but you got one clicker. That's all.
Yeah, it's a 5-watt radio, and it's I'm by the window, but I think there's something obstructing from here to Mount Clemens, so it doesn't come in too good.
To be honest with you, the audio is excellent. Just a cranking, no big deal, you know. One or two is nothing going on. And they're very low, too, they're not high.
Well, it's good to know. Good to know that it's working. Yeah, I'm getting like S9 plus 10 from the repeater, so good signal from the repeater and all that good stuff. So what are you up to today?
Oh, I was a little bit busy on the phone for a couple of places to find out, you know, a couple of parts for this and that. And anyhow, did you see that RedTel 960, that the new one came up? It has the three frequencies.
Yeah, I saw that. I don't know if it's good or not. I'm trying to stay away from more radios. I got enough HTs. This 860, I really like this 860 because it's got like the noise canceling a little bit, you know, on the FM side or whatever, and it clears up people's voices. It's kind of nice, and I get no squelch tail on the repeater, so even better.
Good. I see it on YouTube, and I just want to know what's the ARPS, something like that. What does that do, or what does that mean?
The APRS is for sending quick little messages and also your location. It's kind of like a beaconing. So, you know, it's not really that, that's not something that we really use. And, you know, I don't really want people to know where I'm driving and stuff like that. But, you know, like if you were doing a marathon, you know, you were tracking people running, it's really good for that.
Yeah, I don't like that people know where I am either. That's an old base, old school, I call it.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to learn more about APRS, there's a iPhone app, APRS-Fi, APRS, I forgot what it's called, but there's an APRS app on your phone that you can see all the people reporting their locations. You can see what I mean, like, yeah, you'll see people driving around and stuff, and they'll send, like, little beacons, and, you know, the boats that are on the river, you know, the big freighters, they sometimes have APRS on them, so you can, like, track the freighters. It's kind of neat, but I wouldn't leave it on, you know, Marie. I wouldn't buy a radio just for that, you know what I'm saying? It's an added feature, and it adds some cost to the radio.
Yeah, you're right. No, I don't want that, you know, tell people where I'm going. If I'm going to go on the bike or go on the car, either. Either way, I don't like that. I really don't, anyhow. And I just want to see what was that APRS and all that stuff. Anyhow, Dave, good talking to you. You're sounding 100% good. We'll talk later. KFA, DRC.
All right, we'll talk later. I'm going to go charge the battery in this thing. Okay, FADS.
FADS from 88JL.
88JL, go ahead.
You've got stuff to do, or battery to charge or whatever, not a big deal, but things you are around, I finally have my radio working again. I thought I had fantastic going.
Sorry, I missed the question at the end there. You broke up.
Yates Ciderville. I'm in a hole in Yates Ciderville. It's much harder to get through. I turned up my power, though. Hopefully you can hear me now. I was asking how your fantastic experience is going.
Oh, I kind of abandoned that. I mean, it was okay for a little while, but I think we were getting frustrated with the short range. It was just too short of a range. I think if I really wanted to do something, we would just use APRS, right?
Combination of a very limited range, very limited speed, et cetera, makes it pretty gone. Once you have your radio license, in case you don't need a license, you know. But like I said, I'm still desperate for a use. Desperate. So if somebody comes with one, I'd fly it fast.
Yeah, I feel like, okay, so when you look up YouTube, you see all the posts from that guy in England. I think they have a bigger network over there. You know, if you have a lot of people in a small area, then I think it probably works out great, but we're so spread out over here that, you know, there's not enough people to make the mesh kind of work. So it's kind of, it was neat for a moment. I think we all got a little excited with it and then kind of fizzled out.
And I'm not even criticizing you or anyone else. I'm excited about it. I just looked a little bit farther ahead and said, okay, great. After that initial reason wears off, what reason do I have? And I just haven't been able to come up with one. And actually, I have been able to come up with one. There are people who have set up bulletin board systems using a mesh-tastic node. But that's where the amateur radio comes back in. It's like I can set up a BBS on a 2-meter radio and have it go for miles, not feet. So I think that's actually a direction I want to play with this winter, setting up a completely useless bulletin board so I can play trains or something like that. How far back you go, and you did BBSs when you were a kid, but something like that. But if you're going to do it, I'll probably just do it to me. Great,
yeah, and, you know, to be honest with you, that's what folks used to do back in the 90s in ham radio. They would set up little packet stations, and you could hop all around. You know, you'd get some old hams that would tell you that they were able to cross the state just by, like, bouncing between nodes. It would be like a store and forward type of thing. It would just try to hop to the next one, and it took a lot longer. Of course, we were more patient back then. You know, it was like 300, 1200 baud or whatever. But back in the day, people used to set up packet stations, so maybe we just got to get some ambitious hams, because the technology is cheaper now to do so. So maybe we can get some ambitious hams to set up a network like that. That would be cool.
ADHAL. The big problem is the use case, the motivation is gone. Back in the day, in the 90s when I was doing this, you had to pay for anything but local phone calls. I lived in Belleville, which was this tiny little area in between phone networks. So, like, I could call nobody with a local phone call. So the fact that I had one BBS I could call with a local phone call and then use SpiderNet to bounce my messages, and it only took 24 hours or maybe 36 hours for a message to go from me to somebody else and then back to me. That was pretty exciting. But of course, the internet has killed all of that. We've got all of that in split seconds, and people go, internet's ubiquitous, so why don't we just use that? And I can't argue with that. I'm not even trying to argue with that. But, you know, if you want to do something without the internet, you know, this is the type of limitations you have to put up with. This is why we invented the internet. And I still enjoy it, so what the heck. Like I said, I'm going to put up a meaningless bulletin board so that people can go play the old BBS games and call it a day. But like I said, it's a low priority, but I might tackle something like that this winter.
Yeah, you'll have to let us know what frequency you're on, because, I mean, we all have radios capable of doing packet. I mean, I can just hook up, like, say, my, you know, my 991A or, you know, whatever radio that has a digital interface. You can, heck, you can use a Bofang, even, if you got enough power and a good antenna. But, yeah, you'll have to let me know what frequency you do. But, yeah, I was FidoNet. I was 120.160. I remember my node number, so... And my buddy was 120.120 or something like that. And, yeah, we used to pass messages to the modem at night. And, yep, that was the way to do it back then.
I have actually, like, done some Telnet BBS stuff. And I have to say, the fun of that is definitely tempered by nostalgia. There's no question about that. And like I said, at the time, that was all we had, and it was better than anything else we could do, you know? I mean, mailing a letter was going to take an awful lot longer. How else were you going to do it, you know? But it definitely, you get into it, you go, wow, this isn't as fun as I remember, just because we're so jaded by what we've got. But like I said, I like playing with it. My wife is sitting next to me. She says, yeah, call it retro to make it sound cool, which is what you do, but it only goes so far. But yeah, when I do it, I'll let you know. Definitely. It'll just be at my home, so range will be limited. I don't think anybody will be able to get to it or anything. But yeah, I'll definitely let you know. But anyway, thanks for coming back to me. I appreciate it. I just wanted to find out if there was any further activity or any growing of anything or anything like that, so I thought I'd ask. So I appreciate you coming back to me.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I still got all my boards. I actually invested in one of those 1-watt boards and got a little bit out further and tried to do my fair share of propagating the network or whatever, but it didn't quite pan out. So, all right, we'll chat with you later. I'm going to go charge this thing now. KF8F.
Hey, Dave, have a good day. ADHAL.
WOJ, anybody home on the FBI network this afternoon? Nope, guess not. K8WOJ clear.
W8BD. W8FU.
KF8DFB.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Jack, this is Shane, KF8DFB. I was just up here in Flint with my daughter. We're waiting. She's got robotics for high school, and we're here early, and I was just seeing what was out there. I hadn't been on the Flint repeater yet, so I figured I'd give it a shot and see if it worked.
Shane, you're sounding good. And I'm over here. Like it, sir.
Good to know. Still getting the hang of this, and ordering some other radios for the house and whatnot, but at least the mobile seems to be working good.
Yeah, but I don't know what frequency is that. Is that 147?
Most of that, it was breaking up, although the signal strength looked strong, but I did hear you say that what's the frequency. Looks like this one is 444.6.
Yes, you're right. 444.600, yeah. That's the frequency from Flint to the FBI, correct.
Yeah, I'm on the edge of Flint at, well, I guess it's in the heart of Flint at Kettering University, but usually I don't even shift off Holly. That's my home base, and I can usually get that all the way up here, so I just figured this one probably is stronger.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that repeater is good over there, and you're sounding good, Daniel. I have a landline, so take care. You're sounding good. We'll talk later. KF8GRC.
All right, good talking to you, Jack. This is KF8EFB, and I'm clear also.
WOJ, standing by on the always awesome FBI network.
WG8KLL KF8DIC.
KF8GRC KAWOJ. How you doing, Jack?
All very good. How about you?
Fat, dumb, and ugly, same as always.
I know what you're saying, yeah. You're right. There's nothing different. Same thing here, Roger.
Yeah, nothing ever changes except for the date and the time. So are you behaving yourself today?
Yeah, I just got out of the house. I had to go shopping, grocery shopping a little bit to Sam's Club, so I'm driving down there.
Oh, gotcha. I did mine this morning about 6 in the morning there before all the crazies got on the road. There's always crazy people on the road. I see so many of them. The other day it was bad, really. The guy is zigzagging all over the place. I just stayed back. Let him go, you know. What can he do? Yeah, exactly. That's why I try to get everything done real early in the morning and then stay home the rest of the day. But I'm retired, so I can do that. I can just get out when it's convenient. I see what you're saying. You're right about that. It's just not worth to fight these people, really. Because you don't know what they're going to end up with, these people. How they are and who they are and everything else. So I just let them go, you know. I stay away, then I go on my way. Yeah, I spent many decades in the rush hour traffic in the morning and the evening there. And no, thank you, I've had enough. And then if it's not bad enough for the rush hour for work, then you got the school and the school buses and all the parents driving people back and forth. And I just try to get where I got to go, well, with the grocery shop and the rest of it. I got to wait for the drugstore to open or doctor's office to open or whatever kind of thing. So sometimes you're forced in it, you know. Oh, yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, you're right about that, you know. I usually take off and said, let's go see what's out there and all that, what's going on. And sometime I wait, you know, a couple of days, stay at home, not to do anything, work around the house and all that, and that's about it. It's kind of nice, ain't it? There's millions of people that are working and working and working year after year after year, just looking forward to doing what we do. Yeah, I've done it for a few years now, and to be honest with you, I'd like to get back to work. Tell me about that one. I know that's all about, really. You know, I mean, you get things done at home, too, and you don't know what are you going to do, you know. You get pissed off, you know, sometimes. Says, what the hell? I wish I would have worked a couple of hours or 3-4 hours a day instead of not doing nothing. Yes, sir, exactly. And sometimes when you're just sitting around doing nothing, it seems like a day seems like a week. But I was thinking the other day after our conversation about shooting there, you said you've been out to the Pontiac range quite a bit. So, you know, we were probably there together at one time or another because I used to spend a lot of time there, but we just didn't know it. So that's kind of interesting. I got to get back out there. Susan, I was going to try to get out there this week, but it's going to be a hot week, so I have to wait another week or two. But it's going to get pretty busy now with all the people getting ready for hunting season. And what was it? A small game opened up yesterday. I'll be honest with you, before it was a good time. You know, we used to go rabbit, squirrels, all that stuff. But all that stuff is gone now, you know. I don't know what happened to the rest of them, you know. We used to go bird hunting, too. You know, we used to go like 3-4 days duck hunting. That's gone, too. That was on 23 Mile. We should take a ferry and go up there, you know. But all that stuff is gone now. I don't know why, what they did to all that stuff. Yeah, they're still around. They just further out in the country there. They're just, as more parking lots and strip malls and everything else keep going up, they're just running out of room, you know. But yeah, I like the bird hunt too. Yesterday I called a friend of mine. We used to, partridge season opened up yesterday, and he had a couple of dogs, so we used to wander around chasing them things for a while, and it was a lot of fun, mostly just to get out there and get the dogs working and all that. But now his dogs are gone, and and he's got a cat, so I called him up to ask him if him and the cat were going hunting. But I couldn't do that now if my life depended on it.
I call that a stretcher lake. A log rock. Instead of at home, a couple of steps and you sit down. That's what I call it, stretcher lake all day.
Yeah, I'd be doing more sitting down than stretching. I'd probably spend all day and only make it 100 yards from the car.
you're right. Not much to walk, really. Anyhow, good talking to you. We'll talk again. And if you want, let me know if you want to go out there. And just give me a day before, because I don't know what's going to happen next day. There's too many things to do next day. Sometimes, not all the time. And that's why. All right, good talking to you. Take care. KFADRC.
Okay, Jack, always good to hear you and talk with you there. And you be careful out there. I know you get out and about a lot, so be careful and take it easy. We'll catch you later. KD8WOJ. And yeah, next time I get out, I got to take my little nephew to the range there. He's never been, so I'll be doing that kind of too. But we'll have to get out there and I'll let you know. KD8WOJ, I'll be clear.
Bring him along. I got something for him to do. Put out those eggs and the fly from the shotgun. We'll give him something to do. I have that trigger. You put it on the ground, and you put the egg around that the machine, and you let it go with the rope. Yeah, no problem. Take care. KF8DRC.